This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is the Enterprise Wrap-Up, bringing you our favorite interview throughout the week on the Enterprise Belt. My name is Ofni Ting, and together with me is Tasha Fusil. So last Thursday on Raise Your Game, Jack Schaefer, author of The Light Switch, joined us on the show. So Jack Schaefer is actually a former FBI special agent, right?
Yes, he is, which is, you know, pretty cool. It's not every day you get to speak to a special agent or a former special agent.
Most of us only know about like the whole FBI thing through like movies and TV shows. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that they do in terms of reading people's body language, reading the movements and stuff like that, influencing how people perceive you. And so that's exactly what Jack Schaefer did. He wrote a book. So he basically teaches how to turn strangers into friends and winning people over.
So just out of curiosity, why did you choose this particular interview?
Well, I think it's perfect for people who are socially awkward because he really breaks everything down into a very simple and easy to understand way. And he even shows us many things that we did in terms of behavior-wise that we may not even realize ourselves.
Yeah. I think that is probably the best part about this interview. And a lot of interviews, I think, on Raise Your Game, it kind of just always reminds you to draw attention to the things that you do, especially when you're on autopilot.
Mm.
Yeah, like you have all these like default reactions and behaviors and actions that you do. And sometimes they help, sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're not. So it's just always helpful to
equip yourself.
Yeah, or like to re-educate yourself on what is considered good practice and what isn't. So we're going to go into the first clip where he talks about a few things that you can do to build rapport.
My goal is either to get someone to confess or get them to work with us. And they call those double agents. So when I talk to people, I don't necessarily like the people I talk to all the time. So what I want to do is create an environment where that person feels comfortable. Because if that person doesn't like me, they're not going to work with me. They're not going to provide me with information that I need. So my goal is to quickly build rapport, get that person to like me, and then we can start working together. And isn't that true when we meet our significant others for the first time? We meet people on the job, our colleagues, new colleagues. We want to quickly build rapport. And then once rapport is built, then we can work with each other a lot easier than if we didn't like one another. There's other ways that you can use to create common ground. And basically, there's three ways. Common ground's a powerful rapport builder. And one of the ways is called contemporaneous. That means we share something similar at the same time. It's like, I'm in the FBI, you're in the FBI at the same time, so we share something contemporaneously. You like something, if I like the same thing, we share that contemporaneously. The second one is temporal, which means time, and we share something across time. I was in the FBI, you're in the FBI now, so over time, we share something. You visited my city, I visited your city, and we have it over time. It's like, I could tell you right now, I visited Kuala Lumpur 20 years ago. Then we share what? That common ground over time, even though it was 20 years ago, we still share that common ground over time. And the last one is vicarious, and that's when you live through somebody else. So we don't have anything in common, but we know a mutual friend, or we know somebody that shares some common ground with you. Like my brother's into radio. He does radio shows, if that's in fact what he does. So now we have common ground.
So from what I get it, it's definitely easier to work together in a team if everybody likes each other.
My thing when I was listening to this, I was like, oh, okay, that's a bit like disingenuous, right? That you have to like try and find common ground with someone that you don't like. But actually, sometimes you just need to get things done and you have to think about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And you probably will surprise yourself and discover that the person that you don't like is actually
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to the next clip, Jack takes us through the three nonverbal friend signals that we kind of like put out whenever we meet people.
Basically, I call them friend signals. Mm-hmm. And there's three basic friend signals. The first one is the eyebrow flash. And what the eyebrow flash is when we approach each other, there's a quick up and down movement of the eyebrows. And that indicates to the other person that they're not a threat. So it's a long-distance signal as you approach people to let them know that you're not a threat. And it lasts about 1/64th of a second, very brief.
Mm.
But our brain picks that up. And when somebody eyebrow flashes us, we reciprocate the eyebrow flash to tell them that we're not a threat to them. And what I find amazing is when I tell these, you know, when I let people know about what they do, they come back and they go, my gosh, Mr. Schaefer, I've been eyebrow flashing my whole life and I never realized it. And I catch myself eyebrow flashing now and I see eyebrow flashes everywhere I go. It's just a nonverbal signal to let us know that we're not threatening to somebody else and reciprocate that we're not a threat to them. The second thing is the head tilt. When we talk to people, we tilt our head to the left and to the right. And the reason we do that is we expose the carotid artery, and that's the most vulnerable part of our body. And what we're telling other people is with our tilted heads is that we don't fear that they're going to cut our carotid artery, that very sensitive part of our anatomy. And, you know, when I make reference to this is, especially dogs for pets, as soon as the owner opens the door, the pet generally sits there and he'll tilt his head one way or to the other. And that's letting the owner know that the pet is not a threat to the owner. Or the dog will flip over and expose the underbelly, which is the most vulnerable part of an animal. So those are just signals that we send each other. And the last one, I think the most powerful one, is the smile. And what happens physiologically when we smile is we release endorphins. And that endorphins makes us feel good about ourselves. So when we smile, it's very difficult for people not to return that smile. And so when there's the reciprocation of that smile, the other person feels good about themselves. So these are just ways we exchange nonverbal signals as we go through life. And you know, when you really, really see it is in the morning when you pass by each other, you say, typically you go, hi, how you doing? And the other person goes, hi, how are you doing? The second time you see that person during that day, you don't have to say, hey, how you doing? What you typically do, we'll do an eyebrow flash, or guys typically will do a chin jut. That's the when the chin comes out slightly and moves up slightly. And those are just nonverbal signals. So those are some of the things that we do all the time, but we just don't realize we're doing them. And that's kind of the basis for when you want to meet people. So when you approach people in a social relationship or like a dating situation, what you want to do is make sure that you eyebrow flash, tilt your head, and you smile. And this is particularly important when you go on a job interview. Because when we go into job interviews, we're typically anxious and nervous. And when the body's anxious and nervous, it doesn't automatically send out friend signals because there's a threat out there. And that's what that anxiety is. It represents that threat. So when people walk into job interviews, what happens is the employer will look at them and say, there's something about that person I don't like. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something there. And that's because that people aren't eyebrow flashing, tilting their head, and smiling. So what I tell my students, especially when they go into job interviews, yes, you'll be nervous, but you have to make sure that you eyebrow flash, tilt your head, and smile to let your employer know that you're not a threat. And then he'll pick that up. And the beauty of this is, if you do it, people don't notice. They only notice when you don't send friend signals.
So yeah, that was really useful. And it's not just like, I think, in an interview setting, right? Like when you're just going about your day and you make eye contact with someone,
yeah.
God knows what kind of like socially awkward thing I do. and I definitely don't think I do this, you know, as simple as it sounds, doing like the flash and the tilt and the smile. Yeah.
I really like how he break it down into simple, and these are stuff that we do unknowingly, right?
Because he says that the eyebrow flash is only 1/64 of a second, which is really short. So like, imagine you want to practice doing this.
1/64 of a second is a very important part of
this. That
move, yeah. if you go beyond that, I guess.
Who knows what kind of signal you're sending, what kind of message you want, right?
Yeah, yeah. But moving on to the third clip that we really enjoyed, Jack actually shared a 100% success guaranteed like switch. But if you would like to learn more about like flirting, Esme from the Evening Edition has a show on love called Love, Life and Everything in Between. And episode 2 talks about flirting. So you can head over to our podcast page for that one, bfm.my. But back to Jack sharing his 100% success guaranteed way to turn on the like switch.
I'm going to give you a technique that works 100% of the time. That's one of the few things I can say work 100% of the time.
Okay.
And that is this. If you want people to like you, you make them feel good about themselves. And this, for example, is if every time that you met me, I made you feel good about you, you would want to come be with me again. And it's very hard for us to do because most people are egocentric. They think about themselves. The world revolves around them. But the goal is focus on the other person. And that makes them feel good about themselves. And that kind of ties in with the smile. If we smile at somebody and they smile back, they get a shot of endorphins. Endorphins make you feel good about yourself. What have we just done? We've made them feel good about themselves. And that increases the probability that they're going to like us. The next thing you can do is something called an empathic statement. And that, again, keeps the focus on the other person. And you always start your empathic statements with "so you," because you don't want to talk about you. You want to talk about the other person. And what you do with an empathic statement is you take the words that people say, the emotions they're feeling, or their physical status, use parallel words, and mirror it back to them using "so you." And I tell my students you can practice this anytime or anywhere. For example, when you get on the elevator and you see somebody smiling, you say, "So, you've had a good day." That
right.
smile means they've had a good day. And you're keeping the focus on them, and that makes them feel good about themselves. And they're going to like you because you are focusing on the other person.
Mm, very usable tips, right?
Do you want to practice an empathic statement?
Why don't you try?
"So you're very organized today." Did that make you feel good?
Not really.
So I've got to work on this a little bit.
But moving on so far, we've learned ways to be likable. But what if you're not? Let's just say in a situation where someone's pretty angry with you, is it possible to make an angry person like you? If making the person like you sounds a bit too far-fetched, Jack also shares some ways to neutralize the situation with his expertise and experience as a FBI special agent.
The first thing you want to do, if you think somebody's angry about something, the first thing you want to do is provide an explanation. Because people get angry and frustrated because their world is not in sync. So something's out of sync, and that being out of sync causes frustration, and then frustration produces anger. So the first thing you want to do is, if you see somebody that you think might be angry, you provide an explanation. "This is the reason I'm doing it. This is the reason we do that. This is the reason we're doing this. And, you know, these are the rules." You explain that. You provide that explanation. And then if that doesn't work, then the next thing you want to do is enter into what I call the anger cycle. So the first thing you want to do is that person's angry. And then after that first burst of anger, there's a pause. Right at that pause, you want to construct an empathic statement. "So you're angry because..." And then you want to mirror back what they told you. And then that lets them know that you understand how they're feeling, because you're mirroring back to them what they have just told you. And they say, "Aha, the person's listening to me." Mm. Then when that happens, people have a tendency to vent. And then at that second venting, you issue another empathic statement. And once that person has the shoulders, the large exhale of the breath, and just the kind of just like this, "Oh, I'm done." Once you see that, you want to introduce a presumptive statement. And that is a course of action that person has a very difficult time not agreeing with. And that typically takes care of anger. So what you want to do is, because people aren't going to listen to you when they're angry. They put their shields up and nothing gets in. So the first thing you want to do is provide an explanation. And if that doesn't work, you want to go through the anger cycle by using a series of empathic statements, direct them in a presumptive. And if that doesn't work, you go back into the anger cycle again and make another empathic statement and go through the whole three stages again and make another presumptive statement. So that's kind of how you deal with anger. It's very a powerful way to get people to vent their anger and then become open to a course of action that is a win-win for both of you. So the thing you don't want to do is confront angry people, because then you just get into a shouting contest and nothing gets resolved. So you just want to mirror back to them how they feel.
With those helpful tips, hopefully there'll be less angry people around and the world can be a more peaceful place, right?
I guess so.
So Jack shared lots of great tips on how you can turn on your light switch. But if you would like to hear the full interview that we had with Jack, you can just head over to our podcast page, www.bfm.my/wrap-up, and we'll link the full interview right there. Okay, what do we have next, Tasha?
Next, we are going to share our top picks for the following week, what we're excited to listen to. And I'm going to suggest Wednesday's Tech Talk. It is going to be about understanding our universe one telescope at a time.
Whoa, that's big.
With Sam Gibbs, the CEO of Aerospace Education Services Malaysia. So it's going to be a proper geek out session, I think, with Jeff and Sam, where they'll talk about kind of like the... where they're going to be talking about all the achievements that have been made in aerospace in the past year. So it's sort of like a recap of what's gone down from the New Horizons spacecraft embarking on that flyby to Pluto to collect research and pictures and information about Pluto, to the whole privatization of the space industry, with the most prominent one being, of course, Elon Musk's SpaceX.
Yep.
So I think, you know, a lot of interesting stuff, especially for people who are not studying astronomy and who don't know anything, being able to like understand the mysteries of the universe on Enterprise is rare. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So that will be on Wednesday Tech Talk at 12 p.m. And Star Trek is also out this week. Perfect timing.
Yes. Mm,
it's all spacey.
It's all just the stars are aligned.
Whoa. And for me, on Friday at 1 p.m. on Resource Center, we'll be speaking with Dr. Kate Forbes, General Manager of Products and R&D at Aesop. She's the woman responsible for formulating some of Aesop's most cult favorite creations. And we will talk with her to find out more about the role of R&D in the beauty and skincare line. And so Aesop is this one brand that's different from other brands out there because it had quite a slow rise to fame. They took their time, it had minimal marketing, and they took away all the external noise and just focused solely on making good products. It really created a strong brand identity. So really one to look forward to. That's on Friday, 1 p.m. on Resource Center.
Okay, awesome. So that's all that we've got for you this week. But before we go, since we'll be talking about all things space related next week, we're going to play a special song.
Yep. We're going to play Across the Universe by The Beatles, of course. Back in 2008, February 4th, NASA beamed the song Across the Universe into deep space. And the transmission was aimed at the North Star Polaris, located 431 light years away from Earth.
Ooh.
Fancy, right? So until next time, you've been listening to The Enterprise Rap with me, Ofniting, and Tasha Fusil. This is The Beatles with Across the Universe. Have a great weekend, guys. BFM 89.9.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.